I'm going to do an intro to Sharon, but what if Ariana, Chris, Katie, and Heather, in that order, if you do a short introduction to Sharon. Heather already knows Sharon, but Ariana.
Can I make a request?
Please do. Please do.
So as you do, just tell me a little bit about where you are in terms of your DISC experience, because I want to make sure that I make this valuable for you.
Okay, so Ariana, you go first.
Okay, great. Hi, everyone. So I'm in Halifax, Nova Scotia, the eastern coast of Canada, and I'm a career leadership, sales, and business coach. And I, in terms of my experience with DISC, I am not DISC certified, so my experience has been relative to a past role in Xerox that I did. We did some DISC evaluations. I was sort of peripherally involved in that and supporting people through that, but got a ton out of our last session last week, and am in the process of going through my own DISC assessments or DISC profiles of the people I was assigned. So looking forward to your session today, Sharon.
Great.
That's it.
Thanks, Chris.
Hi there, Sharon. My name is Chris Sear, and I am located in Shelby Township, Michigan, which is about 20 miles northeast of Detroit. I'm an executive leadership and career coach, and I am certified in DISC, although it was two or three years ago, so I'm a little rusty. I have done DISC assessments in the past, and I have found that our call has been very, very helpful, and I'm looking forward to getting a better idea of how the people in the DISC class responded to the class, as well as whatever other information you can share with us.
Great.
Great. Katie?
This is Katie Smith. Sharon and I have studied the DISC in the past. I am not certified. Studied a little with Donna and then a little in another arena, and really interested in diving deeper and just learning more so that I can articulate and integrate it deeper.
Okay.
Katie, that was pretty quiet, so if you share later, if you can get closer to your mic or do something to boost your sound. Oh, that's better. Okay. Did you get that, Sharon?
I did.
Okay. Heather?
Well, hi, good morning. This is Heather. I'm in Pasadena, California, and I am certified in DISC. My experience is, I guess, on the limited side. I've facilitated a couple of workshops. Was about a year ago I did both of those, and then I've done some individual DISC debriefs with a client as well.
Okay, great. And Donna, should I jump in or what?
Let's do this. Let me do a little intro for Sharon, and then I'm just about to get that email out. Sharon is a master certified coach. She is a Coach U graduate. She is also a management consultant, a business growth strategist, and a DISC expert, as well as a trainer and facilitator. She's highly accomplished, as you can see. She just completed their DISC workshop for the South Coast Water District on Thursday, and it went really well. I'm getting great feedback, as well as great feedback from Sharon. I met Sharon through my first coach, Amy Rupert, and also reconnected to her through LinkedIn. We're not sure which one happened first. And she is a wonderful, generous person, as evidenced by the fact that she's here sharing her wisdom. And Sharon has a very unique perspective on DISC. And we're also both UCLA graduates, and she's also done graduate studies at Antioch. So we're really lucky to have her today. And we are recording the call in case you want to listen to it again in the future. And I'm going to just drop in some codes here for the other coaches that aren't able to attend. The beginning code is 321, and that's 321. Okay, Sharon, take it away for us.
Okay, thanks, Donna. I do want to just make one correction, which is that although I have enough hours to be an MCC, I have not completed that yet.
Oh,
so I'm
I thought
so
you were
appreciated.
An MCC. Oh,
I am
okay.
not. I am
okay.
not.
Okay, I thought I okay, I had that wrong.
No, so, but otherwise you got it, you nailed it. So
okay, good job.
Yeah, and thank you for that lovely introduction. So I am a huge fan of DISC. I've been doing it for about 10 years, and I find it to be a really powerful tool for self-awareness, other awareness, and transformation of all kinds of situations. That said, I'm also skeptical about DISC in some ways. And I think that we have to be really careful about the ways in which we use DISC. I've seen people really misuse it, and I've seen organizations misuse it. And I think it can be, it can do more harm than good if it's not used properly and if it's not sort of respected for what it is and what it isn't. And so that's a lot of why I offered to spend time with you guys, especially since, you know, Donna had shared with me that, you know, some people are relatively new to it. And, you know, so I want to empower you to be as effective as you can be with it. What I thought I'd do is just share a few things. I have a little bit of a unique perspective on it that you probably won't hear a whole lot of DISC distributors or DISC, you know, fans say. And so, you know, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It's, you know, please hear it and come to your own conclusions. And then I thought that I'd just sort of open it up and see what questions you have that I can answer, maybe including what we did last week that that might support you in supporting your clients at South Coast Water District. Does that sound okay?
Sounds great.
It does.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm going to share with you the places where I differ from what many people think about DISC, given that you all have at least some experience with it, and you've and Donna has shared a lot with you last week. The first thing is that I feel really strongly that you that a person is not their dot on the DISC wheel. And a lot of the time, the language of DISC is that you are a D, or you are a DI, or you are a, you know, or you're a, you know, a C that's, you know, out near the edges, or you're a C that's situational, you know. But I take exception to the using that as a label or as a an immovable point. I think that, number one, we all use all the styles. And I know they say that in the DISC, you know, if you read the disclaimers or the explanations early on, it says it in a line, but then it goes back to referring to people as if they are this, you know, style label. And, if we respond to people, you know, if we think that we know something about somebody because they spend most of their time in any particular style, and then we try to be effective with them using the guidelines for being effective with that style, we're not going to be as effective as we might be. And that's because basically I see DISC as describing different energies rather than people. And the DISC, the energy of D is a particular energy, the energy of I is a particular energy, and those energies carry with them priorities and fears and wants and needs and emotions and all of that. And if you catch me on a normal day, I live in sort of the DI space. But if you catch me in a moment when I have to do my taxes, then I'm going to be in C energy. And if you try to treat me on that in that moment when I'm in C energy as if I'm the DI that you know me to be, you're not going to be effective with me. Right? The last thing that I want when I'm like worried about getting my taxes done and making sure they're right and pulling in all the detail and all of that, if you're going to talk to me about, you know, people and results in that moment, you're not going to get me. Is this making sense?
It is.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
So I think an important message for people as you're working with them is that you're not your dot. We all use the different energies, and the thing to be aware of is the energy of this and the energy of other people, so that when you're either responding to yourself or responding to others, you're looking at the energy, not the label. And, you know, I think an important message is that, and this is a way that I see DISC misused in companies a lot, is using it either as a label for selves and others or as an excuse. You know, people will use this to go, oh, well, you know, I'm an I, so, you know, I'm going to talk a lot, or I'm a D, so, you know, I'm just going to always be driving things forward, and, you know, I've got to, you know, get, I'm going to be brusque. I'm going to be abrupt with you, right? And it's this, the point of this is not so that people have an excuse for their behavior, it's so that they have an understanding of their behavior, and so that they can learn to flex the muscles of the other energies as they need to and get up above any specific energy, you know, behaviors that are associated with this energy. We're not trying to make people leave their preferred energies. We're not at all. I mean, I think we want people to leverage the energy that they are most comfortable with and called to, for sure, but we also don't want them to be so married to it that then we just have a whole bunch of people in an organization all defending and feeling like, you know, well, this is who I am and I can't change. So is this making sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Does anybody have any questions about this?
Yes, I do. I have two questions, I guess. One question is this, when you had your workshop with the Water District, did you use this terminology, or did you explain it in a similar way that you just explained it with us? I'm trying to understand what context they received this in.
Yeah, so definitely I always tell them that, you know, whoever I'm working with, I always tell them that they aren't their dot and that these are energies and that we all use all of the energies. And I give examples from my own life. So they will have heard this.
Okay.
It's always interesting to me what people hear and what's said and what they hear, you know, and what any two people in the room hear can be really different. People bring their preconceived notions and they hear what they are receptive to. So don't hesitate to re-educate if you see that there is a lack of clarity.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I had a second question.
Please, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, as a follow-on to that, how then, and maybe this will come out in as we start to move through your DISC assessment, but how do you temper the coaching of that with helping them respond to other styles, given that they shouldn't necessarily come from a place of assuming that somebody's acting a certain way because they're a D and they're always a D. How do they temper their own response to that?
Yeah, so what I encourage them to do, and we talked about it on Thursday a little bit, was what you want to do is read where a person is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Always right now. So it's not about, like, I know this person to be a D. It's, you know, what energy is this person using who's in front of me right now? So, you know, even if... You know, most of my experience, and it's, of course, tricky as humans, we tend to live in the past in our minds, right? We refer to our past experience. And so it requires discipline to let go of past experience and to be open to how somebody is presenting in the moment. Mm-hmm. And it takes, it's a muscle, and it takes practice for people to get this. And so that's part of, as coaches of DISC, what we can do with people is get them to start exercising that muscle.
Hmm.
I did practice with them how to read people and how to read their energy. And basically, there are two questions that they need to ask themselves about a person that's in front of them. And one is, the first question is this person more outspoken and fast-paced, or are they more kind of cautious and reflective? And so the questions are along an axis, right? So the one axis is, more fast-paced, outspoken, more cautious, reflective. And, you know, and I said to them, do you think you can tell pretty quickly what state someone is in? And they said, yeah. And then the other axis is, are they more warm and accepting, or are they more questioning and skeptical? And basically, if you can answer these two questions in the moment about any person, then you can tell what energy they're using. So if they are more fast-paced and outspoken and more warm and accepting, then they're using I energy. If they're more fast-paced and outspoken but more questioning and skeptical, they're using D energy. You know, if they're more cautious and reflective and warm and accepting, they're using S energy. And if they're more cautious and reflective and using questioning and more questioning and skeptical, they're more using C energy. And, of course, they're the combination. Right? And so then I took them through a process where I showed them some videos of people using the energies, and they were right on it. They were able to get it every time, even the combination. Even when, you know, when people were using S and C energy or using D and I energy, they were able to spot that. So one of the things that you can do as you're working with them is get them to reflect and use those questions as relates to people that are in their world, you know. I like to work with them around people who challenge them because that's where their energy is going to be. But get them to start answering those questions and identifying where someone is. Let me give you one more piece, and this is probably my biggest difference with the sort of the DISC world. And that is that while we definitely want understanding, this is a great tool for understanding self and others and for being more effective in communication. But what we really want to watch out for, and I definitely gave them this message on Thursday, is that in a business environment where we're trying to move toward results, if we are too focused on honoring everybody's styles, we will not ever get anything done. And so requires every getting business results requires everyone needing to sacrifice some of their style preference in service to accomplishing shared goals. And I don't ever hear anybody else say this who's in the DISC space. Maybe there are people saying it, but I haven't heard it. And I think it's really important. And I think the place where organizations get into trouble with this tool is that they start getting all about let's honor and understand and give everybody room to be who they are. But then we impose obstacles to accomplishing what we've set out to accomplish. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The other thing that I really love to share about DISC, and this is something I did not share with them on Thursday. I did in a very broad way, but not in a specific way. That every style has associated with it a need, a want, a fear, and an emotion. And I can send you, there's a more complicated version of this in the report, in each person's report. If you look on the page that, I think it's about page 7 or something, it has the wheel, and it has some words of describing each of the styles in each of the four corners. But I like to sort of simplify that down because I think it makes it much easier for people to know how to apply this without having to become deep experts in DISC. Because if you think about it, if you know what somebody needs, what they want, what they're going to be afraid of, and how they're going to respond emotionally, particularly to stress, then you've got a pretty good foundation for knowing or guessing how to be effective with them. Does that ring true?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and I can send this. I'll send this to Donna, and she can send this out to you after our call. Sorry, I didn't think about sending this before. But so then for D, the need of D is, actually, hang on, let me just get it open so that I am consistent with my own language. So the need of D is to be in control. And so you always want to give D choices. Is not too many because their want is forward movement and results. And so too much detail for D's frustrates them and bogs them down. But too little, like if you come into a D and you tell them what to do, they're going to push back. And the example that I like to use is my daughter, who is a turbo high D. And if I would come in and tell her to do something, it would never get done. She would just always find a way. Anything from really like serious pushback to exponential levels to just passive saying okay but not doing it. Whereas if I would come into her with the same objective, and this is what I finally learned to do, and say, this needs to be done, you've got a choice, right? You can get it done now or you can get it done before you go to volleyball. No problem. It was amazing. It was like magic. She would then, so D's need to be in control. They want to have choice. They want to have control over their own destiny. So you want to be really careful with them, that you are giving that you're not taking away their control. And they will experience that, if you're taking away their control in some way or taking away their forward movement, in some way, they will experience that as being taken advantage of, and that's their fear. And if you listen to the language of D, you'll frequently hear D saying things like, you know, I spent 2 hours with this person, and now they're doing X. Right? You'll hear them say that kind of language. And I talked to them on Thursday about how if you listen to people's language and their tone of voice, that you will, they will tell you who they are very quickly. They'll tell you what energy they're using very fast. And the emotion of D is anger. So, you know, if people under stress tend to go to anger, then you know that they're using D energy. So, is that clear?
Yeah, that's very good.
Are there questions about that at all? Okay. So, energy is really different. It's still fast-paced, and it's still expressive and outspoken like D energy is, but I is more people-driven. So that want of I is to feel connected. I's are all about the experience, about how they are feeling with you, right? So when you notice, and so it's important to I's to make that connection with them before you try to get anything else done. And one of the things I like to say is that these things that I'm describing to you now, these are powerful, visceral, primal needs. And don't underestimate them. It's this stuff is really strong. So even though we're talking about it, it seems sort of light, but it's really powerful for people. And they, when somebody is using a particular energy, if these things aren't addressed, it's really hard to get their attention on anything else. So if, as an I, and I spent a lot of my time in I energy, if somebody comes into my space and they're in a bad mood or they just had a fight with someone or they're totally focused on I've got to get this thing done and I don't care what it takes, and they haven't connected, and they don't take a moment to make a connection, then I could, in my head, totally be spinning on what did I do wrong, or why don't they like me, or uh-oh, am I in trouble, or am I no longer part of the tribe, is my position secure? You know, I can totally get caught in that. One of my favorite stories about this is a woman who's one of the top 50 women in Hollywood. And I was debriefing her disc and on the phone, and she said, hang on a minute, let me go close my door. And she came back, and this, I'm serious, one of the top 50 women in Hollywood, and we're talking seriously powerful, seriously accepted, seriously brilliant, all of that, right? She comes back to the phone, and she says to me, they're going to lunch without me, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, she was so sad. And then she goes, I don't even want to go. And then, as quick as that, she flips back and she goes, but they didn't even ask me.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And people won't, I mean, and if you reflect on your own selves, right, you don't always express this to people, but this energy is going on in us all the time. And so when we're dealing with, when we pick up the signs that someone is using I energy, we want to make sure to connect with them, because then all that stuff settles right down, and now they can give, you know, we can give our full attention to whatever is needed. Another thing about I, the need of I is to articulate. I's think out loud, and other styles don't understand this. It's probably the place where I's are most misunderstood. Because they will think out loud and people will think they have decided what they've spoken when they haven't. And then they'll go on and continue to process with person after person or with themselves or whatever. And then they can appear flighty or indecisive or like they don't know what they want or that they aren't capable of giving direction or something like that. So those are the stories that I hear people tell about eyes. And the skill that I teach people in working with eyes is to clarify before you leave a conversation what's been decided, what you're specifically moving forward with, things like that. Eyes, the fear of eye is the flip of feeling connected, which is rejection. Eyes are very sensitive to being rejected, as in the story I just related to you. And the emotion of eyes tends to be optimism and enthusiasm, sometimes to a fault. Right? Sometimes I have my eye client. I've got two eye clients, each of whom are starting multiple businesses at the same time. And everyone around them is going, oh, my God, you know, we can't do all this. Are they crazy? And they kind of don't, they're really excited, and they see all the possibility in the world. And they, you know, so, you know, there's definitely the possibility, the overextension of eyes to bite off more than they can chew. Okay. Is this making sense?
Mm-hmm.
Questions?
Yeah, this is very good.
Say that again?
Yeah, this is just very good. Thank you.
Great. My pleasure. So moving on to S. So the, and again, I'll send you the my little wheel that has these four things on it, and you can feel free to share them with your clients. For S, it's all kind of the same thing. S's want safety, stability, security, support, like that, and that's what they need too. They want and need things to be safe and secure and non-chaotic. And they will go to, I like to say, S's don't like ripples in the pond. So the when people are using S energy, they will do anything to try to smooth out the ripples. I go into S energy a lot when there's conflict in my family. You know, it's funny, in business, I am fine with it. But when there's a fight going on between my husband and my daughter, I go to, or my husband and my son and my daughter, it doesn't matter, right? I'll go to trying to smooth it out. It's really hard for me to sit with that in my family. And, of course, I can make it really worse by doing that. So, and sometimes I can make it better, right? So it's not always a bad thing or a good thing, and so that's why we want awareness of, you know, of our need and what energy is required in the moment in order to support the situation. So sometimes it's a good thing and sometimes it is not an effective thing to you. The fear of S is loss of safety, stability, security, support. They, you know, so any kind of threat to the status quo is can be really overwhelming for people who are using S energy. And so what you want to do when you're working with someone who is using S energy and you want them to make a change or to move, to move forward, is to increase the safety and increase their awareness of stability and security and increase their support. So you want to show them how what they're doing is not that different than things that have been done before, or how change can happen without chaos, how planning can support the safety of moving forward, things like that. And the emotion of S, the way that you can recognize S energy and what you can anticipate from S under stress, is that they're going to try to control their emotion because they want stability, right? They don't really like big show of emotions from them or from others. So when you're with S, you want to control your own emotions, and you can anticipate that if S is feeling stressed, they're going to be striving to stay in check. And that may not be at all a reflection of what's going on inside them. So they could be panicking inside, but they will look calm, cool, collected on the outside, or striving to look that way. Right? Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And can you all think of people that you know who do these things?
Oh, yes.
Yep. Yeah. So wherever possible, give them examples. Examples are really helpful. It makes it concrete and helps them to relate.
So, Sharon, I think I'm lost as far as what was their need versus their want? Was it similar?
It's the same on us. Safety,
okay.
Stability, security, support. It is both need and want.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Okay.
And then, Sharon, this is Heather. I have a question around S2. I had thought that one of the, I don't know if it's need or want or what, I'm not sure, but I thought something that was important to S's was around harmony in the team.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of speaking to those other things that you're saying around security and stability? Is that the harmony?
Totally.
Okay.
Totally. Can you see how harmony is completely consistent? So don't get too hung up on just these literal words, but harmony equals safety, stability, security, support.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Absence of harmony is the absence of those things.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? So feel free to riff on the words, though. Don't get hung up on the language of it. Go for the essence of it. Right, because there's probably a lot more words, and the people that you're working with may be more comfortable with different words, so encourage them to use their own words. So, like, I love that you put forward harmony, right? And then if they use a word like that, you know, feel free to adapt and go with harmony, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Because whatever resonates with them and makes sense with them,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay.
Yeah, unless you hear a conflict, unless you hear them say a word that is not aligned with us that might indicate a misunderstanding, right? But anything like that, you're building on what I'm saying, you know, because these are, you know, we're going to the 30,000-foot level here, but there's so much nuance to this. Shall I move on to C?
Yeah.
Actually, sorry, what was the emotion of S when you...
S is, the emotion is controlled emotion.
Okay.
The emotion is, you know, they'll say, like this company that I got certified with calls it non-emotion, but I don't like that. I don't like calling it that because it's not non-emotion, it's controlled emotion. It's containment or something like that.
Okay.
You know, I have a client who's the head of a big hospital, and he is under a lot of stress, and it is really traumatic. And most of the time, like, the world can be in flames around him, and I'll say, you know, how's it going? And he'll go, and it's funny, he'll say it in the most neutral tone. He'll go, oh, it's really bad, right? But he'll say it so... I'm not even capable of saying it with the lack of emotion that he says it with. He will sometimes he'll say it with a laugh or with a, like, he'll go to the opposite, like a slight amount of opposite emotion. Not big, right? It's never big. He's all about keeping it contained. Because he doesn't want ripples in his pond. He wants to keep things under control. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So, C, so let me just go through this real quick, and then we can take any questions or, you know, talk about Thursday or whatever. C's, remember, are your, these are your cautious, reflective, skeptical, questioning people. And these are your detail, this is your detail-oriented energy. So C's want, or when people are using C energy, they want proof, facts, data, and evidence. So if you come in with guesses or conjecture or, you know, taking a flyer on things, that's not going to be effective with a C or with somebody who's using C. The need of C is to get it right. And when I say need, I mean need. It is really powerful. And the quick story that I like to tell about this, I was working with a team, a team of educators, and I was doing just one of these, you know, little coaching games that we do where they had to move a ball through a sequence and try to get it faster and faster, and we were looking at the teamwork of it. And we started, and they got it done in about 25 seconds, and then they got it to 18, and then they got it to 12, and then they got it to 10. And at about 10 seconds, the people who were using D energy and I energy were like, this is great, we're good, we're done, we're ready to move on to the next project, the next activity. And the C's were going, no, we're not done yet, we can do better. And, you know, the I's and S's were like, okay, let's do better to try and support them. And the D's were kind of going like, oh, all right, fine, I'm really ready to move on. And they got it to about 5 seconds, and then 4 seconds, and then 3 seconds. And at 3 seconds, everybody was like, this is great, we're awesome. One guy who was the pure C in the group was like, he could not give up. And he actually, everybody else literally stopped doing the activity, and he went off in a corner by himself to do it. And he got it, he figured out how to do it in 1 second. So that's both the pro and con of C, is that C can, you know, C has a stick-to-itiveness and a need to get it right, a need to not stop until they've got the answers. And so they can accomplish things and drive a team to accomplish things that it wouldn't otherwise, but they can also do it at times when it's not appropriate and create drama and resentment and waste money and time trying to perfect something that doesn't need to be perfected. And so, you know, great conversation with them and with others around them is how to clarify what degree of accuracy, accomplishment, whatever is appropriate for these circumstances, and how you can make it safe for them to move forward even with partial confidence, or and how you can perfect as you go rather than before you go. Those are good concepts to work with when you're working with C energy. The fear of C is criticism of their work. They are, nobody likes it. C's have a hard time. And actually, in the session on Thursday, when I had each group break out and brainstorm to share with the other groups what their style is like. And the C's got up and said, "We don't do wrong." That was literally their words. We do not do wrong. So they don't, they really, and then they modified it to say, we don't do wrong well. You know? So they are way more sensitive than anybody else. They're very identified with their work. And so when you criticize their work, they experience it as being criticism of them. And that can be really challenging for other styles, and how to communicate with them, and how, and one of the things, the pieces of advice, and you'll see this in the document that Donna sent out, is to help them self-assess before being assessed by others, because they'll criticize their own work, you know, and sometimes. And the other thing that C's tend to do is they'll get stuck in thinking that their way is the only way because they've gotten the perfect data and evidence and they have this need to get it right and they are identified with what they've done. And so they can fail to see alternative paths. The emotion or fear of C is, you could call it fear, you could call it sensitivity to danger, but C's are, they see the world through a lens of what could go wrong. And the language that they use will clue you into this. I was working with a controller of a manufacturing company, and I was briefing his disc, and I said to him, so, you know, have you ever done this before? And he said, oh, I don't put much stock in this kind of thing. So not enough proof, facts, data, and evidence for him as yet, right? And then he says, but I don't want to lose my job. Okay, now, there was no danger of him losing his job. The D in the group, who didn't want to do it, just said, I'm not doing that, right? But the C was like, well, you know, I'm going to do it. I don't want to lose my job. So you'll hear, see energy using that kind of language that indicates sensitivity to danger, sensitivity to breakdown. So what questions do you have? You're still there, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Actually, okay. I guess the... Sorry, was somebody else asking?
Yep.
The question I had, I guess, is when in the process we have 2 hours with our coaching, with our clients, when would you typically take them through this section within the context of their debrief?
So usually, and realize that because, now there are two of them, Cassandra and Joe, who were not present, but everybody else, we did a, they really understand what their style is. Mm-hmm. They have been through, you know, we've talked about what energizes them, what drains them, what the primary aspects of their style are. So they've done quite a bit. So you can start, you can find out from them kind of where they are, what questions they have, where okay. can they apply this in their world. They've done some people reading already. So like you can, so where I would talk to them about this is in the context of how they're reading the people on their team or their peers that they need to work things out with or even their supervisors. What style are those people? And now what do you know about them and how, you know, what strategies do you have for being effective with them? And in that context, this can be really helpful. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if they have a manager who is a DC, then you can engage in a conversation with, you know, so once you've established, like, okay, let's walk through the questions and what style do you think this person is and why, and then you can kind of go to, so what do you know about what they need or what they want? You know, what are they, what do you notice that they're afraid of? What kind of emotional responses do you notice them having? And now let's talk about some strategies for how you can be most effective with them. You know, how do you need to adapt when you're with them or when you see them using this energy, right? And again, being careful to, because, you know, not to say use this energy all the time with them. It's when they're in that energy, that's when you want to match what they're doing.
Yeah. Can I interject too? I would just say I would bring this in on page 7 when you're talking about, you know, who falls into the different categories, and then also page 12 through 15 or 16, I can't remember which it stops at.
Yeah.
You know, I would reference that in that section as well. So just to give you context of where it is in the report.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Back to you, Sharon.
No, that's great. So, so what questions do you have, anything about this that I can answer in the next, you know, 5 to 7 minutes.
Sharon, this is Heather. A question that I've gotten, and it came up in our last call, and I've always kind of given an answer that I think is okay, but that's about kind of the reliability, the validity of the results. If I take the DISC instrument, you know, at X, you know, at this point in my life, and then I take it again X years down the road, is my style stable and relatively get the same results, or could it change? Can you kind of respond
yeah.
to that?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is one, and I would not call it unreliable at all, but I would say that it what it measures is something different than that. So it is very changeable. Because DISC is a reflection of who we are in a specific set of circumstances. So if you change someone's circumstances, their priorities will change and the energy that they use will change. So as I described, like I may have a preference of being of using D&I energy. But if you put me in a circumstance where I need to be very detailed, I will slip into C. Or if you put me in a circumstance where my family is, you know, in disruption and I don't like that, I can slip into S. The same is true. I had a client who was the head of, he was the COO of an advertising agency. And he was working with a CEO, and they had a great relationship, and there was a particular kind of culture there. And then the CEO retired, and they brought in, elevated another manager in the group to be the new CEO, and this was a very different person. And my client, who had taken his DISC 6 months before and was a high I, 6 months later, after working for several months with this new CEO who was very harsh, very judgmental, they didn't get along. His DISC results when he redid the DISC was very low I. So this can totally reflect change in somebody's environment, change in their priorities.
So
did that answer your question?
Yeah. And I know at one point when I was getting my doctorate, I took the DISC and my result was more C-oriented. And outside of that, my result tends to be SI. But if a person, but I guess now I'm with that example, it's making me think of operating under stress. And yes, we can all operate in all of the styles. I completely am on agreement with you about that and how circumstances influence that. But then isn't there also the other side of the coin of operating in those circumstances, but it's actually under stress and you're having to adapt, but you're adapting outside whatever your natural style is, and you're adapting because of the environment you're in, which creates underlying stress, and therefore it's hard to sustain that.
Sure. So I would say that in the case of the COO that I described, that was an adaptation for him that was not a comfortable or positive adaptation, and he did end up leaving there and choosing to go into a new environment. On the other hand, like when I was younger, I didn't take the assessment, but if I look at my behavior and look at my priorities at that time, I was definitely more living in S energy. Mm-hmm. And as I have grown and put myself into circumstances where I've taken on more leadership roles, and I've needed to become more active, more outspoken, more results driven, more, you know, so I have really shifted, and I've watched myself shift. Then for a while I was living very much in I energy, and now I spend a lot of my time in D energy. And it's not a negative, although there are certainly times when I miss some of the, you know, and then I can consciously make decisions to flex into other styles. But I just have evolved into a different place because of the circumstances of my life. So that's a great conversation to have with somebody about how they're using the style and how they can get more comfortable with using the style, and if they're overusing the style, and where there might be, because any of the styles you can use effectively or ineffectively, right? So how can you flex a style without and minimize your stress around it? Or what aspects of what you're doing while you're using that energy are stressful for you, and how can you work with that? So that's really rich territory for coaching, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Other questions? If not, I have a question for you, Sharon, and it has to do with the South Coast Water District session. I was wondering if you, the document that you provided is mainly how did they respond to the different breakouts and how they're explaining their style to each other, and that is amazing and helpful. The very last section where it says the master competency for effectiveness, personal accountability, could you talk a little bit about the things that they identified as things they want to work on as a team?
Yeah. So, and by the way, that is completely, it's separate from DISC. I brought that in because of the input that I had received from Candy, from Andy through Candy, and through our conversation with Candy about what they needed to solve some of their challenges. And so I brought in this concept of accountability so that they would have an additional tool to work with. Hang on, I'm opening up my executive summary so I can have that in front of me. So in terms of what we did, so I had them, we first talked about what reframing what accountability meant. And I see my next call is coming in already. Can you hang on just one quick second?
Sure.
I'll be right back.
This is very interesting information, huh, folks?
I am really enjoying this.
Yeah, isn't she amazing?
Yes.
Very generous of her to give us her time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It definitely is.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, no problem.
It's a brand new client calling in, being on top of it and calling a few minutes early. So basically what I did was I took them through a new way of thinking about accountability, and then I had them brainstorm, well, what are you currently doing that's accountable by the definitions that you will see in the document that Donna sent out in terms of taking action that's consistent with the outcomes that you want. And so they listed all these great things that they do really well. And then I asked them to brainstorm some opportunities for improvement in areas where they are taking action that's accountable or action that's consistent with their outcomes. And so these came out very painfully for them. It was really hard for them to say any of these. And I had to make it really, really safe for them to say them. And if you look at them, they're all really normal things. They're all things that happen in every company, and I tried to really give them strong messages, but there was a lot of discomfort with saying anything that needed help there. So I thought that was revealing about either the prior culture or the current culture, and I couldn't tell you which. And so what, Donna, what more can I share with you about this?
And I know you need to go. It's just, what do you think we need to support them taking into the workplace?
Well, I'd say the area that they chose. So I asked them out of this group, let's pick one to work on, and they chose the rumor mill. And you know, so they've got a challenge within South Coast Water District in which there is a very strong gossip mill, and there's also, every problem has two sides, right? So there's the problem of gossip, and then the other side of the problem is a withholding of information, which creates the gossip. And they haven't figured out the place in the middle yet. So you'll see in the document the agreement that we started to make about what every member of the leadership team is going to do. But I think there's a great opportunity to take this and personalize it so that each person can work with what this means to them and where their challenges are around this. You know, there were some people who expressed challenge because, you know, people come to them with a problem and they don't know quite how to, you know, how, like, well, I, shouldn't I be listening? Or, you know, when is it appropriate for me to listen or not listen, and what if I shut them down, and what message should I give them? So I think that exploring this with them could possibly be really useful if it's something that they feel like they could use some support on.
Yeah, if they're interested in. And I want to honor you, Sharon, to get to your client. Thank you
so much.
We really, really appreciate it. We all say this has been an amazing session, and we appreciate your generosity.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Take care, you guys. And
Thank you.
They're a great group. They're a really great group.
Yeah, I know. We have high-quality people.
Okay. Okay.
Thanks.
Talk to you later.
Thanks, everybody, for taking the time today with Sharon, and I hope you found it valuable. I certainly did, and just to touch just briefly on what she just said, so they made a commitment to work towards being a gossip-free environment, and so we can also bring that up in our two sessions if it seems to come up, and if they want to work on it, that can be something you can support them on within this as well. And I'm sure you can come at it from a context of what their DISC style is. So thanks so much, everybody. And next week we'll be getting back to career exploration.
You were going to give the last number?
Oh, thank you. You guys should look out for me. It's so amazing. I really appreciate it. And the last number is 235. That's 235.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, Donna.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.